Our scripture reading this morning is John chapter 21, Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. Let me take the opportunity to express to you greetings from Wingham Protestant Reformed Church, and also my delight to be able to help you out this morning in supplying your pulpit. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself, and walkedst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So far we read God's holy word. The text of this morning's sermon is John 21, verse 15. These words, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in any consideration of this 21st chapter of the Gospel according to John, it must become evident that so much of the entire chapter and the circumstances that it lays out all center upon the restoration of Peter to the office of disciple and furthermore to the office of apostle. The setting is exactly the same as the original calling of this disciple of Jesus Christ. On the shore of the Sea of Galilee, engaged in the occupation of fishing. Jesus asking of Peter the same question in substance three times is meant to carry a certain reflection upon Peter's denial of Jesus three times, giving to Peter three times the opportunity to express his love for Jesus Christ. We also have a good bit of information concerning the restoration of the Apostle Peter, not merely three times, again, in substance, the answer of Jesus to Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." But we also have such a certain restoration as to give to Jesus the opportunity to explain to Peter in a very substantial way how Peter would not deny his Lord again, but even be willing to suffer death for the sake of Jesus Christ concerning his end. And the very contrast that is made to the Apostle John and Jesus' word concerning him at the end serves also to strengthen that knowledge about Peter's own end, his end of faithfulness to Jesus Christ, who so graciously and so mercifully restored this disciple who previously had denied him three times. So here we have, in this word of Jesus, his question, Peter's answer, and then Jesus' reply, the wonder of grace. Grace to restore a disciple. And yet, that same word, its question, and its answer, and its response is applicable to us. This is merely a calling to you and me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You and I must hear in this word to Peter the very same question that Jesus asked of him, addressed to you and me this morning, "Lovest thou me?" That is what it means, simply to be a disciple, to love Christ and to love him more than these. Just as Jesus said of following him, the cost in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." But not only do we have instruction from the question of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Peter, We also have instruction from his answer. It is for us to know this morning that the answer that this apostle gave to be so restored to the office of disciple is an answer for us to give as well. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So we consider then this text, John 21, verse 15, under the theme, lovest thou me? We consider, first of all, the searching question, secondly, the appropriate question, and finally, the gracious answer. Given this same setting by the Sea of Galilee, having undertaken this work of fishing, and now in this company of the disciples gathered so closely together, it is helpful to see the contrast of this question asked of Jesus to Peter, now in something of a contrast to the first calling of Peter, the first calling of the other disciples by the Sea of Galilee. That calling was very simple, and that calling was really what it meant to be the heart of a disciple. And that calling was this: follow me. Follow me. That is what it means to be a disciple. Simply a follower of Jesus Christ. Now there are two distinct aspects to what it means to be a disciple, to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And the first aspect of what it means to be a disciple is this: that the disciple has Jesus before him as the one with whom he must always be present. I think of physical following or geographical following. Where the master is, there the disciple must be. Where the master goes, there the disciple must follow. The disciple may not hold back. The disciple may not argue. He may not question. The disciple is meant to say in his heart, as well as his mind and with his movements, there is my master, there is my Lord, and as I am a disciple of his, where he is, there I must be. Where he goes, I must follow. The second aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is this: to learn from him, and to learn from him in such a way as to be able to do what the master does. See, a master teaches. He's going to say, these are the things that you must do. These are the places you must go. These are the works that you must accomplish. This is the preaching that you must undertake to show forth to the people. And the expectation is that the disciple is going to listen. He's going to soak in. He's going to absorb all the lessons that he is taught in order that he might carry on in the work that his master will give him to do in his behalf. And so Jesus, performing miracles and wonders and signs, as Jesus preached and proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God, teaching the people what it meant to believe in Jesus, to follow after him, so Jesus sent out the disciples, two by two, to do the very same thing, to preach, to teach, to perform signs and wonders, to seal the truth of the word, the teaching that they brought. So the disciples were meant to learn what it meant to follow after their Lord Jesus Christ. What did that mean to follow him for these some 3.5 years of his earthly ministry? What did they learn? How did they advance? How did they grow? How did they develop as they followed Jesus, as they listened to him, and as he absorbed what he had to say? Would it simply be enough for Jesus to say in reinstating Peter here now in John chapter 21, verse 15, simply to say, as we started so long ago by the shore of this same sea, so now the same question will be asked. Simon, son of Jonas, wilt thou follow me? Wilt thou learn of me? Wilt thou be where I am? Wilt thou go where I go? A different question is necessary. Because, first of all, as Peter watched, he watched where his Lord went. And as Peter heard, he heard what his Lord had said to him. He heard his Lord say to him that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He heard his teacher say to him, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And as he heard his master teach, so he saw his master do what he said he came to do. He saw him suffer. He saw him die and act not merely, not only to redeem Peter and the disciples, not merely to redeem the entire church of Jesus Christ, but an act of glorious, wonderful love. And that must now, exactly that love, must form the heart and substance of this question to Peter. To be an apostle, to be a disciple, it is this: Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? There is then all the weight, there is all the force of the cross of Jesus Christ behind that question. As Jesus simply defined what love must be and what love is in a few chapters previously in God's holy word, a few days previously in the upper room, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And such is the question asked of Peter. And such is also the question asked of Peter against the dark, the deep, the sinful background of Peter's thrice denial of his Lord Jesus Christ. I know not the man. I know him not, never heard him, never followed him. I know him not. And that denial made out of fear. Fear of men, fear of a servant girl that kept the door. I know him not. How can this man be a disciple? To love the way the Lord loved. How can this man be restored to an office for Jesus to say to him, this man who had denied him three times, here is your office restored. And here is your office declared, characterized, and described in this way: feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. These little ones of the flock, before speaking of sheep, taking care of them as the flock, not of Peter. Feed thy sheep, Peter, but feed my sheep, the little lambs of the flock of Jesus Christ, and feeding them in such a way to take care of them exactly in the same way, in the same manner that Jesus Christ cared for his sheep. The same way, the same manner Jesus loved his sheep, laying down his life for them. How is Peter to be restored to that office of caring for the little lambs of the flock of none other than the risen Lord Jesus Christ? This question he must answer: feed my sheep. Or, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? So we understand, we are able to see what this love really is all about. How much the worldly, wicked notions of love must crumble apart and turn to dust before the searching question asked of Simon Peter and asked of you and me this morning here. It cannot be merely to have a good feeling about Jesus Christ. It cannot merely mean to have a good feeling about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's fulfilling. It's satisfying. There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of contentment in following after Jesus Christ. So yes, we will follow after him. That cannot be this question that is asked of Simon Peter and of you and me this morning. Nor can this be the love that is explained and held up in this world as a love that is self-fulfilling, a love that is gratifying, a love that means profit, love that means a profit of gain, a profit of pleasure, for love to be bestowed. A love that says, what's in it for me? And a love that when profit is gone, or when real sacrifice is required, that love turns to nothing. It turns to a contempt that results in abandonment and forsaking, where before there was thought to be true love. This love is a deep, probing, and searching question to you and to me. You see, the only way to return a positive answer, a full positive answer to this question, is to answer it in light of the cross. As Jesus established and set out his love as the substance and force of this question, as I loved the sheep, as I loved the lambs of the flock, laying down my life for them, do I love Jesus exactly that way? Lovest thou me? This question is not only a searching question, it is also an appropriate question. It is, in this respect, a question that unfolds the reason why Peter denied his Lord three times. You see, this question, lovest thou Jesus, does not merely bring Simon Peter and Jesus into a relationship where they themselves alone are considered. Nor does this question come to you and me, asking of you and me individually or as a church of Jesus Christ, individually. A question that's merely meant to be formed and raised between you and Jesus Christ himself when he asked of you, lovest thou me? Others are brought into the equation. Others are brought into the question. The force of the question is comparative. It's meant to compare. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, it makes this question so very real and so very sharp is that that word these is what is known in grammar as a near demonstrative pronoun. Now, a demonstrative pronoun is this. You're meant to take your hand and to point it out. And there's two ways of saying that. You can say those, or these. Far off or near. But there's another force that word in the original carries. In ancient languages, that word those was more or less a casting off question. It implied a distance that was also a force. Those over there, those that we may not want to talk about or those that we have negative feelings about, we set a distance between ourselves and those. Now, by contrast, the word these is a gathering question. It talks about those who are near. So that when Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, there's only one possible thing that Jesus could indicate by that word these. That very company of the disciples with whom Peter was fishing. The very company of the disciples that Jesus called together to follow after him in the beginning. Those same disciples that had formed the company of those that served and followed the Lord, hearing what he taught and acting in his behalf as Jesus sent them out two by two. They were together. Jesus and the disciples. With this question, however, Jesus separated. With these words, Jesus established a balance. On the one side of this balance, he placed himself alone. On the other side of this balance, Jesus placed the other disciples, Peter's companions, Peter's fellow disciples with whom he had lived, and Jesus forced the choice upon Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these. Peter was required here to make a separation between Jesus and the other disciples. And Peter was asked this question by Jesus to indicate what his love must be in its first and primary direction. Its first and primary direction, away from the disciples and to Jesus alone. What's interesting here is that the question does not merely come to the Apostle Peter, and it does not come to you and to me saying, do you love me more than the world? Do you love me more than my enemies? Are you willing to say that my enemies are going to be your enemies? It's directed towards those that are close, those that are near. It's directed toward those that even stand in the same cause with him, in the same agreement. And as they all might answer together, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, it still remains to be answered, lovest thou me more than these? Do you and I, can you and I make that same kind of separation? You and I have been blessed with so much help by the grace of God. We rejoice to know God's covenant mercies that he has shown to us, making us to be a people, a nation, redeemed, cleansed together by the blood of Jesus Christ to share together in all the spiritual blessings of our salvation. A glorious thing. It is a glorious thing to know that covenant as God's mercies to us that saves us together as this people, as this congregation in our generations. In that salvation, we have so much help, so many blessings of one another, and God has certainly designed and intended that the church of Jesus Christ should know strength in its fellowship, partaking together in these bonds and ties of truth. And yet, the same question requires of you and me to make this division, to divide among those that belong together, to divide among those that should remain together, husbands and wives, parents and children, households, the church of Jesus Christ. We still must face the question, lovest thou me more than these? Now, why? Why is this question important? Why is it necessary in this respect? Well, we look at the Apostle Peter. I said before, this question goes down to Peter's denial of Jesus three times. We might also ask, why did Jesus deny his Lord three times? We might ask the same question of the Apostle Peter, why was it that he began to sink when he walked on the water toward Jesus? Why was that? He looked around. He looked around. What Peter said, though all men should deny thee, yet will I not deny thee. Though I should die, yet will I not deny thee. He was forward. He was forward to present himself with his answers in the company. In the company. Among these, with them. He was bolstered by their presence. He was bolstered by the fact that together they were disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, what must that mean as far as strength? What must that mean as far as power to be faithful, to be a proper disciple of Jesus Christ, going everywhere the Master must go? It cannot work. Simply cannot work. Must fall completely apart. What is the strength that we have as a church of Jesus Christ? What is the strength of our marriages and what is the strength of our families merely as units? Important units, esteemed units, treasured units in our society, in our culture. There is strength. There is power. There are many benefits that flow from this dedication, commitment to one another in these bonds and ties. But if they do not have Christ as their foundation, there is really and there is truly no strength. So the question must be asked to divide. Lovest thou me more than these? It is certainly a temptation to make and to place church, family, school, denomination, all these bonds and ties first. They may seem to be nearer. They're more present in their possible strength and power. But you and I must know that they have no power, they have no strength of themselves without Christ, without Christ always and only first. You see, this is the real power of this band of the disciples, the real power of these and Peter among them, the real power of your family, the real power of your church, the real power of your denomination, together to say, together to confess, Jesus must be first. Jesus must be alone. Lovest thou me more than these? We had a searching question. We have an appropriate question. The question demands an answer. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There is a great deal of instruction for us to receive from this answer of Peter to Jesus. Now, it's possible to make a great deal of a distinction in this word love as it is translated in our King James Version appropriately, because it's really impossible to translate this well in any other way. But you ought to know that there is a distinction in the word for love that is used in this passage. What we want to say is the stronger word, really simply the stronger word, word of sacrifice, a word of commitment and dedicating love, and a love that sacrifices itself completely, love that sacrifices itself absolutely for the sake of the beloved, is the love that occupies the first two times Jesus asked this question of Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? A different word, what I want to stress is a lesser word, a word of preference, a word of delight, a word that's translated as brotherhood, affection toward and delight in, that occupies every single answer that Peter gave. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It's also the reason why Peter was grieved when Jesus asked him the third time, lovest thou me? It wasn't just that Jesus asked Peter three times simply the same question, but the reason for Peter's grief was this, that when Jesus asked him this question the third time, Peter did not hear from the lips of his Savior the same word for love. He heard from Jesus' lips the same word that he had used in an answer. And then the question became this, Simon Peter, you have said you loved me these two times. Now I'm going to ask you again, but I'm going to ask you using the same word that you have used to me. Lovest thou me? What is he to answer now? The question now directly confronts his former answers. So he must say the same thing, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. What must we say of this answer? I do not believe it is appropriate to speak of this word of love merely as signifying weakness. Merely as signifying weakness. It is, of course, a weaker answer. But it is a glorious sign of humility. Of humility. He who before would have said, I love thee, in exactly the same way as he was asked, I will lay down my life for thy sake. He knows And he admits before the Lord his weakness. And you see, there is your and my refuge. Our love is weak. Our love is frail. Can you say that you will lay down your life for your Lord? We must answer, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Our love cannot compare to the glorious, matchless, wondrous love of our Lord Jesus Christ for us that he exhibited and demonstrated so purely, so mightily in his cross, in his death for us. And yet, our blessedness is to be able to say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It is a little, it is weak, and it is frail, but for all of that, it is love. But the stress, you see, must not be on us. It must be on our Lord Jesus Christ. So the important point of the question is not so much that answer that we have considered so far, but its wonderful grace is this. Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Thou knowest that love. Thou knowest its source. Thou knowest its origin. It is a love that flows from the cross of Calvary. It is a love wrought in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That in the power of that gospel, applied by sovereign grace to our hearts, it is that love of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us that must kindle in our hearts a love for him. And it is our great blessedness to say of that love, Lord, thou knowest it. Thou knowest it according to its source in thee and the greatness of thy love for me. But then secondly, thou knowest it as a weak love. Thou knowest it as a defiled love, a love that's tainted and polluted by our pride, that's polluted and tainted by our selfishness, that's polluted and tainted by our self-seeking, as well as all our sins, our rebellion that says, I will not follow. I do not love. But it's that same Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we say, thou knowest, that died, that shed his blood in his love to take all of that sin, all that depravity, all that pride, and all that selfishness away, to cover it in his blood, and has loved us that much that we are able to say, Lord, thou who hast died for me, and thou who hast died to give me that very love in my heart that I speak about, thou knowest that I love thee. So we come to understand that as you and I, by that marvelous, wondrous grace of God, answer that question, we hear that blessed answer. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. You might hear it as office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ. We might hear it as Sunday school teachers laboring to teach the lambs of the flock their catechism lesson. We are to hear it as parents charged with raising these lambs of the flock in the fear of God's name day after day, fathers and mothers in the labor of the covenant. And we are to hear the blessed word of our Lord Jesus Christ saying to you and me, there are my sheep. There are my lambs. Feed them. Pasture them. Protect them. Care for them. For my sake, I am with thee. We're able to hear the answer of our professed love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Do you hear him say, come, follow after me. Be my disciple. Live out of me, live by me, live in the power of my grace and my Holy Spirit, and be confident that in that love you are safe. In that love you are secure. I will preserve you. I will keep you all the way to the end, even if that end should be literally laying down my life, laying down your life for my sake. So in that blessed knowledge, let us say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for that word as the glorious gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. How we rejoice to know his love for us, to lay down his life for his sakes. For his sake, we thank thee for the gift of thy grace to turn us to that cross, to know by it the wonder of our Savior's love for us, and also by that grace to have in our hearts kindled love for thee. And we thank thee that in thy grace we might know thy love to gather us unto thyself, that love to equip us and strengthen us day by day to love thee. We pray, increase, strengthen us in that love. We pray, bless us that we together may walk in that love for thee, our God, loving thee, loving thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, above all else, that we might be strong, that we also might be kept in thy grace, faithful to thee, our God. Hear us in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.